And so it's with pleasure that I am going to invite Dr. Vic Corded up here. Yeah, give a round of applause. Yeah, of course. He is Dr. Vic. He's a professor at Regent University, correct? And him and his family have been attending here for a couple months, probably since January, December, right?
What a joy to be here this morning. Thank you, Ryan. And also want to thank the music team for leading us in a time of worship. Just before we start, is it possible for us just to, you know, just bow down our heads in prayer and just say a word of blessings and just proclaim blessings today as we trust God for His Spirit amongst us this morning. Speak a word, and Lord, we worship You. We'll give You the praise because there is none like You. There is none to be compared unto You. Lord, we thank You for such a time as this. We thank You for what You're doing in our midst. We give You the praise. We exalt Your name on high because there is none like You. Heavenly Father, we'll thank You for such a wonderful time. Just open up your mouth and worship to God and just thank Him for being faithful. Thank Him for taking you throughout the week. Lord, we worship You. There is none like You, none to be compared unto You in heaven and earth. You are the only true God. Lord, we worship You. Nothing to compare unto You. You are holy. You are holy, Jesus. We worship You this morning. Lord, we worship You. We thank You this morning for Your Spirit in this house. We thank You for what You're doing. We thank You for what You're doing in this season in our midst. We thank You, Lord, for calling us to abide in You. We give You the praise because there is none like You, none to be compared unto You. And so, sweet Holy Spirit, we invite You here this morning. We ask that You take charge of whatever word that will come out of my mouth. I hide myself behind the cross, and I pray, Lord, may Your people see You, not me. We ask for Your Spirit and Your presence in this space. May Your angels float around and transform our lives and change our hearts, wipe away whatever tears that it just have been keeping us down. Lord, we ask for Your Spirit in this place this morning. We pray for Your anointing in this house, for the tangibleness of Your power. May we experience Your presence like never before in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning, church. It is so good to be here, and I'm excited to get to share the word of God with you this morning. What a joy it is to be in God's house. I'm always kind of excited when I have the opportunity to share God's word. It's been a blessing doing that as I travel around and as God placed me in different contexts. It's a joy to be here and also a blessing to get to know Pastor Ricardo, who has a daring heart for God. I think he has this contagious yearning for His presence, and I think that really captivates me in many ways. And I'm really honored, and thanks to the leaders of the church as well, the secretary and the board that have allowed me to get to share this word this morning. Maybe you don't know, but it seemed like this past couple of weeks, God has been taking us on a journey. It's like there's a series that is going on abiding in Him, right? And so I think, was it 2 weeks ago when Pastor Ricardo had told me to share something, and I had, I was praying about what to talk about, and I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to talk about the fig tree in Mark, in the Synoptic Gospels. And interestingly, last week he was talking about what I felt. It was just a good sequel to what God had in mind for us today. And so I could tell that there is something about that that is very much of interest to God. And I'm excited about what He would do for us this morning as we continue on the series on abide. But this morning, I want to take our text from the book of Mark. If you have your Bibles, you could turn your Bible to the book of Mark. Mark 11, from verse 12 to 14. It's a very familiar story that we probably have read in the Bible. And it says, "Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry." Jesus was hungry. "And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.'" And the disciples heard that. Now, if you go to all the synoptic accounts in Matthew, you also see the next day when the disciples had come about, they saw that the fig tree was withered. Now, I've been kind of wrestling as to what to title this message, whether to call it nothing but leaves, or blessed but broken. Maybe God is still looking for fruit, which kind of ties well to our series on abide in a way. But, you know, sometimes I believe that the most surprising hunger, in this text, we see Jesus hungry, and the most surprising hunger often shows up in the most familiar places. Jesus, in the text, had just left Bethany, which is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And if you understand the context of this text, this was just before, after the triumphant entry. So he was a bit tired and exhausted, and he wanted to rest up in Bethany. It was a place that felt like home to him. He always retreated to Bethany because it was, you know, a place where he was loved. He had a friend there, Lazarus, who later died, that he resurrected. But also, it was also a place where he was also welcome. We see that even during the women's conference, they talked about Mary and Martha, Martha welcoming Jesus to his home. It was also a place where he was well known. We see Mary anointing his feet with oil. And so it was a place, Bethany was a place where Jesus performed a miracle. He received the hospitality, was well received. He poured out himself for ministry, but still he left hungry. Jesus was hungry. I think the hunger in this text, it's not just physical. That's one way to see it. But I see it was also a spiritual longing. It was an ache of a Savior who had given so much and received so little. In case you've not noticed already, now Jesus is still very much hungry, hungry for our fruit. He is not hungry for our flair. He is hungry for your soaring the not so much about our show. And so let me ask you this morning as we talk about it, what will God find when he looks at you to satisfy the spiritual hunger in your generation? If you don't mind, can you help me look at someone close to you and just ask the person this question? What will God find when he looks at you to satisfy the spiritual hunger in your generation? What will God find? Yeah, what will God find? What will God find? But also, what would he taste when he reaches out for your life? And you know, one of the things that we see in this text, we know that hunger sort of reveals an expectation. The Bible tells us, "Seeing a fig tree in a distance full of leaves, he went to see if it had any fruit." Jesus saw the tree from afar. He saw the potential. Jesus expected the fruit from it because, you know, the tree had leaves. Leaves say that there's something growing here. But when he came close, the Bible tells us that there was nothing to feed him. Nothing but leaves. You know, it kind of reminds me, it's like, you know, those days, sometimes you kind of need some cash, and you go to an ATM machine and just, you know, want to rush in to put your card, and somehow the lights are up and you think it's all working. From a distance, the ATM machine looks all ready. But when you need it to make that withdrawal, for some reason it's telling you that the machine is not working, and it gets frustrating. It's also very frustrating when your card gets stuck in the machine. Right. And so that you're like, you're banging, the bank has to, and it's like 8 p.m. You can't get your car till morning. And you need to make payments. The reason why I say that, if you do international travels a lot, you know, imagine seeing yourself in that kind of situation. And that's how many of us look spiritually. Our lights are on, our movements are in order. We have the Christian lingo. Our church attendance are consistent and perfect. But when God comes to make a withdrawal, there's no grace, there's no love, there's no peace. Leaves without fruit. Let me tell you something. God, I believe, is still working towards people who look full from afar. He is still searching for fruit. Right now, the question is, will he find fruit in you? And I'm talking about, will he find the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And when Jesus comes close, what will he find? When he searches your soul, what will he see? When he presses through the leaves of your life, will he find pride instead of peace? Will he find jealousy instead of joy? Will he find bitterness instead of gentleness? Will he find leaves instead of love? And you know, that's why Jesus didn't really call us to be impressive. He called us to have influence, to be influential. We are called to be the salt of the earth. We're called to be the light of the world. But how can we season and shine if we're like the fig tree that Jesus is talking about, full of leaves but not bearing fruit, looking alive but somehow leaving empty? I tell you, God is not fooled by our leaves, because he's always searching for the fruit. But interesting thing, I think, with this tree, as we look at the tree, we could tell it was blessed with leaves, but somehow it was broken. It had leaves. It was blessed. It had soil. It has its root. It had access to the sunlight. It was blessed. There was evidence of a blessing there, but it had no fruit. I'll make this statement. I believe that anything that does not function at its optimal capacity is broken. Because God is a God of purpose and function. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55 verse 10, "So my word that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but would accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it is sent." God, it's a God of purpose. God creates with intent. But also we see that fruitlessness, I think, is a sign of brokenness. The Bible tells us in John 15 verse 2, last week Pastor Ricardo even talked about that, that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus says that unfruitful branches are removed. Why? Because they are disconnected from the source of life, which is Jesus, and anything therefore not functioning as it is created, it's operating in brokenness. Now, in many ways, if your joy doesn't flow, maybe that's a problem. If your peace doesn't persist, perhaps it is broken. If your worship doesn't transform you, maybe there's something that is broken. And if your work with God does not bear fruit, it is probable and possible that it's broken. And that's why many of us, we are blessed with the gifts, we're blessed with the opportunities, we're blessed with education, we're blessed with the right support system, but still there is brokenness. Blessed, but broken. But hear me, I think there's no shame in brokenness. The problem is not being broken. The problem is not knowing how to manage our brokenness to bear fruit. The Bible tells us that it was not the season for figs. Yet Jesus cursed this fig even though it was not the season. In many ways, we could say that this is not unfair in a way, because it wasn't his season. It's not his fault. But here's the truth. God expects fruit in us in season and out of season. You don't get to choose what's convenient for you today. You don't get to choose what's convenient for you to even obey. Fruitlessness is not about your season. It is about your faithfulness. You know, you don't choose to be, you don't stop being a parent because it is kind of hard raising toddlers, 4 year olds, you know. You don't quit your job because it is somehow inconvenient. In the same way, we don't delay obedience until it feels right. We must bear season, we must bear fruit in season and out of season. Can you help me announce that to someone? You must bear fruit in season and out of season. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear fruit. So why are you unfruitful? I believe that this particular passage kind of provides four principles that we could look at in the context of the fig tree. I call it the four P's of brokenness or unfruitfulness. I think one is your position. Can the church say your position? Where are you planted? The Bible tells us in Psalm 92, verse 13, that those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. I think it's easy to point to the fig tree and say, oh, you were not fruitful. You had all the leaves. That's really bad. Maybe it's not really the fault of the fig tree that it was unfruitful. Maybe it was just because of where it was planted. And we could tell that the way it was planted was not necessarily coordinated, that it seemed like a lone tree. Because the truth about it is that some of us are planted in a broken homes. You never saw love modeled, and so now you are struggling to build healthy relationship. You grew up in a place of conflict. So somehow peace is somehow foreign to you. Maybe your father or parent was absent, so now you can't really trust an authority. Neither can you trust God as your father. I'm a psychologist as well, and one of the things that I study religion and spirituality, and I look at how we develop attachment to God, and oftentimes there are two hypotheses that we use to make a case for it. One is the compensation hypothesis, where for most people who have an insecure relationship or attachment with their parents, what often happens is that they grow up, they have in psychology what we call an internal working model that looks like having anxious attachment or avoidant attachment. And oftentimes we end up compensating. Most people find God or build a relationship with God because God become a substitute attachment figure, playing the role of a mother or a parent or a father that is not around. But then what happens is that if we don't deal with our insecure attachment, oftentimes we relate to God the same way. We're too clingy to God, which is great. But then when God doesn't hear our prayers, we feel that he's abandoned us. For most people, it is our position where we've been planted. Can you help me ask your neighbor one more time, where have you been planted? Because if we're planted in our dysfunction, our fruit is going to be fear, not faith. But some were planted in a cycle of abuse or in a cycle of poverty because you've never managed money well. So you're always surviving. You're always spending your money in worthless stuff. And you live with some kind of scarcity mindset. You're afraid to give. You're afraid to grow. You're afraid to sow into what the kingdom. You don't, you're so busy trying to make ends meet that you never stop to ask, what is God calling me to do? Poverty planted fear, not fruit. And it taught you to survive. and not to be a good steward. But some of that, they're planted in trauma and abuse. You've built so much emotional wall around you. Not even God, not even his love can break through that. And you've learned to respect pain, not promise. So you sabotage anything good coming your way. It is where you've been planted. You've shut your voice and your gift because your trauma have told you you're not valuable. When you are planted in pain, you can't produce peace. When your root is trauma, your fruit is often bitterness. It is shame. It is silence. But hear me, where you were planted may explain your condition, but I tell you this, it doesn't define your conclusion because God will replant you in this season, and that is what God is calling so many of us to in this season. He will dig around us, and not only dig around us, he will fertilize us and make you fruitful again. So I tell you what, you know what? Acknowledge where you've been planted. Ask God to reposition you. Just because you were planted in pain doesn't mean that you can't be transplanted into his promise. But also, the second principle that we see here as I rush through them is the principle of pinching. Some know that as pruning. Pruning is where you're actually using a pruner, but pinching is where you're using your hand as a fig farmer to, you know, cut out the stems. The Bible tells us, interesting, last Sunday, Pastor Ricardo talked about it in John 15, verse 2. He said, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. But listen, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Pruning. Pinching. In fact, the Greek word in this text in itself, it's katerio. And what it simply means, to cleanse, to purge, to prune, to cleanse by cutting away unnecessary parts. Pruning or pinching, it's an agricultural process that a lot of fig farmers actually use to control how energy flows in the plants. It flows down outward, it kind of slows down the outward growth in order to redirect energy inwards. And what it simply does is they do this for two reasons. One is because they use it to induce the tree in order for it to grow fruit. But also they use it to also increase the productivity of its branches. And so to induce means to provoke something, to press it, to even hot it, if you will, so that it can rise. And sometimes God slows us down, not to stop your destiny, but to develop your depth. Sometimes you're growing too fast on the outside without really maturing to sustain what you have on the inside. So God sometimes allows things to pinch you, not to hurt you, but to produce fruit. Pinching looks like setbacks, the doors that didn't open. It looks like disappointments, sometimes the relationships that don't work out. Sometimes it looks like delays, the prayers that felt unanswered for now. It is the job that ended. It is the relationship somehow that shifted. It is the plan that failed. But here is the truth. God is using what's slowing you down to grow something up in you. It is not punishment. It is a preparation. Apostle Paul called it a thorn in the flesh. Three times have I asked God to take this away from me. And God's response was, my grace is sufficient, Paul, because I need you to go through this so that you can see yourself as a human being, that you're not too righteous than the other apostles. I need you to go through this because I want to build humility in you, Apostle Paul. I need you to go through this so that your motivation would be God. And sometimes God allows us to go through seasons of pinching or pruning so that he can slow us down, so we might bear fruit. And so let the pruning refine us. let the pain produce fruit in us. And in this season, God is going to cut some things off out of us. God is going to pick out some things that might hurt us in a way, but he's doing that so he can unleash spiritual deposits that is within you. But the third P is pollination. Can the church say pollination? The question is, who are you connected with? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 24 to 25, let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another. The truth about it is that fig trees don't bear fruit alone. Maybe it's possible that I think my hypothesis is that this fig is a standalone fig. It's a soul fig. Figs require pollination. Pollination is sort of the transfer of life from one tree to another. Pollen kind of carries, it's carried by wind, by bees, by even touch. In the same way we grow through contact and relationship. And so some of us, we are just fruitless because, not because we are faithless, but because we are sort of isolated. And I'm happy that our Pastor Ricardo talked about this last week. If the enemy wants to deal with us, what he does is that he isolates us from a community, from our people, from the body of believers to keep us captive. The fig tree in our text may have looked healthy, but perhaps it was alone by itself. Many of us have potential, but somehow there's no pollination. There's no one around us to activate what God has placed inside us. Most plants cannot self-pollinate, but I have a word from God this season that God is sending people your way. God, those people are already there. You just need to open your eyes. And in this season, God will send people that will help pollinate your life and get you connected. And so the question is, who is in your circle? Are they feeding your fruit or are they stunting your growth? Are your friends building your faith? Are they sucking out the fruit that should be there? The truth about it is that we cannot grow in isolation. We can't. But also the last principle there as a principle of propagation. Can the church say propagation? And propagation is simply being an offshoot of something greater. The Bible tells us in John 12:24 that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. The truth about it is that figs do not reproduce through seeds like most plants. In fact, fig trees, fig seeds rarely produce fruit. In fact, there's about 1 to 1,000% chance that a fig will produce fruit through a seed. And you know why? Because the seed does not have both the male and the female egg in it. And so it cannot self-fertilize by itself. And so instead, what happens is that figs grow through a process called propagation. Propagation is cutting or layering the stem or burying parts of the original tree so that a new tree can take root. And so it's possible, my hypothesis is that it's possible that this fig might have been a fruit that fell off. It's interesting because we also see Jesus talking about casting seeds. And maybe this is one of those seeds that fell off on the roadside. And the truth about it is that pollination helps us to grow with others. But propagation is how you become something new in life. Pollination is about association, but propagation is about transformation because that's where it happens. And this is what salvation it's all about. The Bible tells us that Jesus was cut down. He was laid down. He was buried. He rose to life. He was cut off. He laid down. He was buried. And that new life could also grow through you. He did all that so that new life would grow through us. The Bible tells us in John 15 verse 5 that I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. The Bible also tells us in Romans 8:17 that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. You were not born to be broken or barren. You were born again to bear fruit. And at the end of the day, I think it's a realization that we are greater than something, that we've been cut from the vine of heaven and we've been planted into the soil of grace. And you are not ordinary. You have the DNA of God. Can you help me announce to someone around you and tell the person that you have the DNA of God? You have the DNA of God, because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. You are not ordinary. You are grafted into the divine power, into the divine source of life. You are an offspring of God. So therefore, be careful what seed is growing in you. Be careful what seed is growing in you. Make sure that your spiritual root comes from Jesus, the true vine, and graft him. It's okay to be in community, but you must be rooted into something greater than you are. Because when you get to the end of yourself, what keeps you going is your root. And so this text tells us we carry the DNA of Christ. And so this fig tree is easy to focus on the fig tree, but it's possible it was not engrafted into something greater. But God has a plan for us. In this season, I see God repositioning us, because God has a strategy for second chances. If you don't know, in fact, the Bible tells us in Luke 13, verse 6 to 9, in particular, I'll run through that. I know my time is quite up. The Bible tells us that then in Luke 13, 6 to 9, it says, then he told this parable. Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this tree, and I have not found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? And the gardener said, sir, the man replied, let it alone just one more year, and I will dig around it, and I will fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. But if it doesn't, then we will cut it down. The tree had no fruit. I believe this word is for someone. But the owner said, the owner's God, well, it's not bearing fruit. She's been in church all these years. He's been in church all these years. And well, I think it's a waste of my resource. Does he know that he's created in my image? He carries my DNA. Well, if it's not producing fruit, just maybe cut it down. And I see the gardener, Jesus, stepping up in the scene and said, Daddy, just hold on. Just one more year. I'm going to dig around him. I'm going to dig around her. Give it one more chance to change, to grow, to bear fruit. God is not ignoring you. He is just digging around you. Why? Because before he grows you, he's got to ground you. And so the problem for many of us is that we've not been grounded. And here's really what digging looks like. He will remove every toxic root of bitterness. He will dig around us and remove every root of unforgiveness. God is digging around us this season, and he's going to remove any root of insecurity. But he will not stop there. He will pull up the weeds that is around us, the weeds of distraction, the weeds of addiction, the weeds of toxic attachment. And in this season, he would also loosen up the soil for us, because what surrounds your roots is what really shapes your fruit. And the Bible tells us that he just give me one more year to dig around your son. Sometimes God doesn't really plant you in a new soil. What he simply does is just he cleans you up. He clean up the one that you are already in so that you can have a space to breathe. It is a call to separation from what no longer works or what no longer serves your assignment. This is a call to sanctification, letting go, letting God to make room for his word to take root in your life. The Bible tells us, sanctify them, Lord, by your truth, because your word is truth. And so sometimes God in this season, I see him, he's going to let go of people who drain your energy. He's digging around you. He's going to let go of environment that looks safe, but are secretly suffocating your destiny. It's time to let go of habits that feel comfortable, but they are killing your calling. Can you declare this with me this morning? Say, Lord, dig around me. Disturb whatever that is holding me back. Oh, Lord, break the fallow ground and make room more of you in my life. But also he says that he will not only dig around you and leave you in isolation. He's going to pour into you. He's going to fertilize you with his spirit in this season. He's going to fertilize you with his power. And you know, it's interesting because also he says he's going to fertilize you with worship, with truth, to expose the lie. He's going to also fertilize you with trials, because it's interesting, because when we think about fertilizers or manure, it can sometimes stink. Can you help me tell someone? It does stink. It doesn't smell so good. Fertilizers doesn't smell good, but it grows some good stuff. And sometimes God feeds you with what stinks to really produce what shines in your life. And in this season, I want you to get ready for what God is about to do. And know that God might even sometimes fertilize your life with hard things, because a broken season, it might be a broken season that makes you cry out in prayer, but that Paul calls it a thorn in the flesh. And what it does is that it keeps your knees on the ground. And that is God fertilizing you in this season. It could be a rejection that even pushes you back to the altar. It could be a delay that trains your endurance. It could be a disappointment that weakens your discernment. So don't cast the stink. They are stirring something in the soil. God is intentional about producing fruit in your life. And may we declare this together as we raise our hands and say, Lord, fertilize my faith. Even if it stinks at first, I receive what I need in this season, not just what I want. I am nourished for a harvest that I haven't even seen yet, in the name of Jesus. Can we open our mouth this morning now and just say, Lord, dig around me. Can we pray as we wrap up? Can we pray, Lord, dig around me. Oh, dig around me, Lord. Remove every root of bitterness, every root of shame, every root of fear. Lord, fertilize me. Pour your word into my soul. Pour your word into my dry places. But Lord, reposition me in the season. Plant me where I can grow and bear lasting fruit, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we worship you. Well, thank you for your word in this season. Well, thank you, Lord, that we see ourselves in this fig tree. Lord, we may have not been positioned well because of our background, but it's okay. That is not the conclusion of our story. You have greater plans for us. And we thank you in this season that you are connecting us to one another as a community. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus, that even in trials, in the pinching that make us stronger, that we are going to grow, but also we are grateful for your propagation, that we are rooted in something greater than ourselves, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. And as we close, can we do this declaration together? I am fruitful. I am planted. I am connected. I am filled with power. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I will bear fruit in every season. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.